Matthew chapter 21, I was going to read from verse 12. I guess it was 2 weeks ago, I think. Again, it's hard to remember, but when I talked about when Jesus did these things, and we talked about how he would offend people if need be, he would help people even if it hurt somebody's feelings. He talked about the Good Samaritan, said, "Go thou and do likewise." He led by example in everything he did. One thing that he did was he went into the temple and threw a fit. It says in Matthew 21, verse 12, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye've made it a den of thieves." So he does that. He does something very abrupt and unceremonious and not in their order of service. It wasn't printed in the bulletin, and Jesus steps in and throws all the tables over. It was something that happened out of the ordinary, and he threw a fit, and he said, the Bible says, it's in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, that the Lord's house would be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. You know, he throws a fit. And then the next verse, and the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So it's, again, funny to me when I read through this that Jesus didn't just toss over the tables and then run out. He did it for a purpose. He said, something's going to go on here. I need to clear a space. The next verse, the blind and the lame came into the temple. Jesus didn't leave. He began to heal in the temple. So the point I left out and the point of tonight is Jesus takes something that started out for good, something that God gave us, and he takes something that we've corrupted and makes it back into what God intends it to be. Of course, he does that with salvation. We sang that song starting out that Christ gives us new life. Now, before man fell in sin, God had given us that life, but we corrupted it. We messed it up. Christ gives us, he pays for that sin debt. He gives us salvation, and he makes it new again. And if we live in that way, we can live justified from our sin and sanctified unto God. Christ did that for us. He came into the temple of the day, the church, and he said, this has become something that it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. It's supposed to be a lot of things, but you've made it into a den of thieves. You've made it into something it's not supposed to be. I personally think that the money changers, like Dad talked about when we were going through the book of Mark, that they had a good idea. They had good intentions. They were trying to make it convenient for people to make sacrifices and to follow the law. I don't think they did it to make a profit. I'm sure it did turn into a profitable business, but I think they had good intentions. And a lot of times I think there are things that go on that we have very good intentions about, but it's not really what God had in mind. And this being a church that preaches the gospel and preaches the Bible, those are pointed out to us every week. Our church, the reason I'm glad we went ahead with the schedule today, our church is supposed to be a house of prayer. We thank God that he gave us that privilege to pray, and we thank God that he gave us a place to do it. And in this case, it's our church. Of course, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost, so ourselves are a house of prayer. And in that same instance, we've taken what God has given us that's good and corrupted it. But Jesus can also do that in our own personal lives and make it, again, what it should be. Jesus said, clear out. I need to heal some people. I need to do a great work. The Bible says in Psalms 122, I think that's the verse that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. When I was growing up, I always say my old church was at Landmark. It was in Flint, and it's a great church. It's here in Clio now, different pastor, and many things have changed, but it's still a good church. When I was growing up, I very early on was given a lot of responsibility in the church, and it was important to me. I got to run the PA system, and it was kind of like I was 12 years old, and they said, here's $10,000 worth of equipment. You're in charge of it, which I don't know why they decided to do that, but I took it very seriously. When we had a power strip that everything was plugged into, kind of like you'd have your computer and everything plugged into. And one day I figured out it had like a fault in the switch. If it got hit just a certain way, everything would turn off, even though the switch was still on. But if you held it down in a certain position, everything would stay on and it wouldn't interrupt the service. So I didn't fix it that day when I noticed it, when it wasn't a service. But the next big service we had was a Sunday morning, and the sound cut out, and I didn't know what to do. So I got down on the floor and held my thumb on that switch for the rest of the service. And that was a very stressful day for me, and they kept looking. You know, I was up in this little cubby hole, kind of like up here, except off to the side. And they were looking for me. They didn't know where I was. But it became a very stressful situation. I was not glad to be in the house of the Lord that day. There was another day when Dr. Hiles came to our church. And he was, you know, he's kind of like the leader of Fundamental Baptist. I went to his college before he passed away. Still his college. But he came, and we had a wireless mic, which was a brand new thing. I was used to all the mics had cords, you know. And I was in charge of the PA. First thing, I was a kid, so he looked up. He always had to yell at the PA man. That was part of his, you know, turn the treble up, turn the bass down. It was part of what he did to make sure he was understood. And he saw a kid up there, so he wasn't happy about that. And I was, of course, scared to death of this 60-year-old man, you know. And then the next thing is it cut out. It stopped working. So I was very worried about that, and he actually, you know, he threw it. He's famous for throwing a fit. But that was a bad day. I wasn't glad to be in the house of the Lord that day. So there's been many days in my life that because of the extra responsibility and because of I always took it too seriously, I was, you know, I'm still a nerd, but when I was there at church, I would be afraid to go on the platform without like a suit coat on. You know, I would be ashamed to say, well, there's a man conducting the business of the church and he's not in the attire, you know. So I'd have this trench coat I'd wear and it'd be like, and look at me tonight, I'm in long sleeves, but it would be in the middle of June and I'd run up there in my trench coat to put out the microphones because I took it so seriously. But I don't think, I mean, I'm assuming I did a good work, but I don't think that's what God had intended when he thought about the house of the Lord. Now, the point I'm trying to get at is a lot of times we come here and we're stressed out about, I'm always stressed out, but we're stressed out about how we appear to other people. The Bible talks about judge not, lest you be judged. The only person we're really supposed to judge ourselves against is ourselves. Like, how am I doing compared to how I used to be doing? And we fall into the trap of saying, well, I'm comparing myself to so-and-so. This week I'm doing better than them, but I'm comparing myself to somebody over here, and I'm doing a lot worse than them. So we either puff ourselves up and get prideful, comparing ourselves to others, or we make ourselves depressed, comparing ourselves to someone else. But that's not what God intended. So our church was intended to be a place of prayer, and I thank God that it is. Our church was intended to be a place of encouragement, and I thank God that, you know, a lot of people say it's a blessing to be here, and that is a good thing to say in our church. It's a blessing that we're here and that we have this place as a family to gather. But we take many things in our church for granted. This past Sunday, Joshua and Jeremy both got baptized, and then two other young men, I'm not going to say their names because they're going to talk to their parents and everything, but they also said they wanted to make sure they were saved and they wanted to get baptized. So I'm thankful that our church preaches the gospel. Sometimes I get frustrated. I read about things and I don't think they're trying to be devious or trying to make a profit, but it seems like they turn over to Hollywood and say, well, watch this movie and then maybe you'll want to get saved, or read this, you know, informational package I have for you that doesn't really give you the gospel, but gives you a curiosity for Christ. And fine, if that helps people, I'm thankful for it. But I'm thankful that I go to a church that preaches the gospel, and that you'll hear it in Sunday school, you know, you'll hear it in junior church, you'll hear it in the bathroom, you'll hear it in the nursery. If you come to our church, you'll hear the gospel, and you'll hear the word of God preached. And I believe that's what God intended. So I don't want to ever come to the point where I can't say I wasn't glad I came to church. I want to be glad that we're in the house of the Lord. And that's what Jesus can do if it's not in our church that way. But I don't believe our church should ever be a place of heartache or stress or boredom or gossip. We should come to church expecting something to happen. Psalm 42. This is David talking about his house of the Lord. Psalm 42. Based on the song is based on this, as the deer panteth after the water. The Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So the church should be a place of joy, a place to praise God. We talked about it, you know, in the world and out and with the unsaved, we don't want to praise God, and even though we should all the time, but we don't want to say, you know, we can't call them brother and say, how has God blessed you, because they've either denied God or they haven't met God yet. But the church should be a place where we can share our burdens and share our blessings and share the good things and the bad things that are happening in life. It should be a place of faith and of remembrance and renewing. And that's in the book of Acts. And when they were come, it's Acts 14:27, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. They replayed it in their mind, and how they had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So they remembered what had happened. And it's very important that you do that. And I don't ever want to discourage someone from saying, well, this is what great things I used to do, you know, and there should be great things that we used to do, but there should be great things that we're still working toward. The church should be a place to remember what all God has done for us, not just in the past week, but just to say, I remember that rough time I was going through, and God was there for me, and the people of the church were there for me. So it should be a place that preaches the gospel, a place that wins others to Christ. And it should be also a place that teaches the Word of God, and I believe we do that. Our church basically is here to help others, to reach, you know, to bring them to Christ, but to help them grow as a Christian. It is a family. And if it ever becomes anything else, then we can turn to Jesus and he can make it what it's supposed to be. Now that applies for other areas of life. It applies to a family, to a home, to a marriage. So many times we get bogged down in something and we say, I can't find the answer, and we don't turn to Christ, who is the transforming power in our life. He's the one that saved us, and he's the one that can, in the one single act, he turned the temple into a place of Christian work again. He said, I need an area, I need you to get out of the way, and you've changed what I had in mind, I need to get back to what it was supposed to be. And we've seen that here before. We've seen a revival come. You know, we've had times of a bad attitude that's turned into a good thing. And today I was at work and I almost got in a fight with somebody. It was the same guy I used as an illustration 2 weeks ago about how he was asking me to pray for him. So we can have a bad attitude sometimes and totally turn it around. But Jesus is there to remind us, and again, that it worked out today that we respected each other again, but I was worried about it because that was going to be a bad illustration if he got mad at me. But God has the ability to change it back into good. And, of course, that verse, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we are here for a purpose. We are here to win others to Christ, and we are here to raise a family to honor God. And God can turn that back around and use any of us, use each and every one of us to do everything else that Jesus has left us to do, to win others to Christ, to build that godly family, to reach others with the gospel, to support the ministry of the church, to support missionaries, to stand up for what's right, and to preach what is right. And I believe we do that. If ever in your life you come to the point and say, this isn't what I had intended, this is not what I had planned to take place, you know, you might not be in the right job you thought you should be in, or not have the right relationship with people that you thought you should have. But don't ever just give up on it. Don't quit in any area of life, because Jesus should be in every area of your life. And say, Jesus, you take things that man corrupts and you make them what they ought to be. You take what God's given us that we've changed, that we've corrupted, no matter what area of life, and you change it back to being productive for you. And if we ever get away from that and say, the tendency to say, well, we'll rust out before we wear out. And we will rust out without being used if we don't come back to Christ and say, make us usable again. Take what I've messed up, you know, take my money-changing tables and take the untruth that I brought into my life, take it away and reintroduce the righteousness that you gave me when you gave me that new life in Christ, when you made all things new. You know, you're going to make all things new, and I'm going to mess it up again. But always come back to Christ and say, you take what man corrupted and make it back into good and make it usable. So that was the point I left out, and I think the whole service worked toward answering that question, that's why we come to church, even though we don't know what the weather's going to do. We don't know all the bad things that are going to happen or what will happen the rest of this day. But we come to church to be an encouragement to each other, to sing songs about our relationship with Christ, and to remind each other of what has happened, what God has done, what he's going to do. I believe we'll have a few more baptized. I believe we have a few more make that assurance of salvation And as Bible school comes up and remind us of all the things that are going to happen and remind us that God can take anybody, anything that we've tried our whole life to mess up or put our investment into messing up, Jesus can make it better. Jesus can make it like it was and make it usable again for His glory. And that's why we're here, to glorify God and to bring others to Him. So that's the lesson. Thank you for being here tonight. I'd ask that you pray for Dad and pray for our church. Pray that we never stray from what we're doing now. Remind ourselves of what we're doing right and pray that we don't ever stray from it and that God would continue to use us. And if any area of life we mess it up, if we make the mistake, like I talked about a few weeks ago, we try something and it doesn't work out, that we can bring it back to God and say, make it like it was when you gave it to me. Make it new again and give me that new life that you've promised me because I'm turning it back over to you. Help us to ask God to help us turn it back over to God and take the problems of life and make them new. And so that's what I'd leave you with. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer.